You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans. Welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcasting Network, your team every day. This is the daily baseball podcast. We talk about all the major league teams. I'm yours, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. You can follow the show at Instagram or on Twitter at Locked On MLB. If you want to follow me personally, and this is where you tweet to, if you want to send me questions to answer on the show, do that at Sully Baseball or go to Instagram at Sully Baseball Podcast. Today's show is brought to you in part by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own with Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Hey, do you know what you can do? You can subscribe to this show on the Himalaya podcasting app. You can also follow us on the website directly, Locked On MLB. You could subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Player FM, Google Podcasts, Google Play. You know all the places to listen to a podcast. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device, play podcast Locked On MLB. Or check out one of the other Locked On podcasts where it really is your team every day. Wow, did I cover everything I need to say at the beginning of the show? I think I just did. So guess what? We're in late May. We're in late May, and that's significant for this reason. Your pal Sully, that's me, has a sort of a metric, an idea, a thought, that the season is broken down with three major mile points, yardsticks, what are they called? Milestones. That's right, they're called milestones, Sully. Relax, it's late. I'm recording this late on a Sunday. I'm a tad delirious. Let me tell you, I just got off a flight. I know I'm not supposed to talk about my private life, but I just got off a flight. And I was sitting on an airplane next to a guy with he brought a pizza. He brought a damn pizza. Ray, I hope you notice, I'm not saying GD. He brought a damn pizza on the plane with a full box open like he just went to Pizza Hut. And he was eating slices of pizza next to me. Now, I didn't say anything, but let me tell you, if your pal Sully brought a whole pizza onto a flight and I'm sitting next to someone from Burbank to San Jose, do you know what I'm going to do? At one point, I'm going to look to the guy sitting next to me saying, hey, you want a slice? Am I out of line for thinking that guy should have offered me a slice? I mean, he had to eat a whole manhole cover of dough and sauce and cheese and toppings and seasonings without offering me one. I don't know if I would have taken it. Offer it. Come on. You have a whole pizza there. You don't need the whole pizza. But he ate it. Back to the point. The point is, we have a milestone, which is Memorial Day. I think that's the real first checkpoint that you can have where you can take a real look at your team. You've had enough ups and downs. A third of the season has gone by. And you should have an idea of who you are. And you start to see which teams are rising to the top, which teams had great starts and are floundering. And you get an idea who's good, who's bad, who's on the fence, who should be saying, oh boy, let's start selling everything off. Who should be saying, hey, we have some veterans, but let's keep around, see what we've got. Now, I can tell you one thing. Hyunjin Ryu of the Dodgers could be the key for the World Series title that's been eluding this team since they've started winning every division title since 2013. And they went back-to-back World Series appearances. Ryu pitched last year. He wasn't a huge factor. This year, he's the ace of the Los Angeles Dodgers, the team that I picked to win the World Series. And I am not regretting that pick so far. Let's review what he's been doing so far. He is on a 31 straight scoreless inning streak. He pitched 7 shutout on Sunday. Before that, he had it 8 innings, 1-hit job, which he was throwing a no-hitter deep into the game. He threw a 9-inning shutout before that. before that 8 innings. Ooh, he let up a whole run. That was his worst outing. 8 innings, one run has been his worst outing in a month. And the fact that the Dodgers having, you know, good but not great seasons from Bueller and from Clayton Kershaw, they don't need to have a great season right now because Ryu is doing the heavy lifting. If Ryu could, Ryu's the leader in the clubhouse right now for the Cy Young in the National League. I mean, is there another pitcher who's as dominant as he is right now? I'd like to hear it. And the fact that you could allow, okay, let's have Bueller and Kershaw pitch well. You don't need to be as dominant. And the fact that, you know, Stripling and Hill are okay. Kenta Maeda is hurt. If he comes back, why not make one of them a super reliever? You know, be the person who throws two or three innings in a game. The way that, you know, you see some of these teams adapt and use pitchers in ways, like they use Porcello like that in the, or Eovaldi like that for the Red Sox last year in the postseason. You saw Tim Lincecum when he could no longer hack it as a starting pitcher in the 2012 playoffs. He was a bridge to the closer and pitched beautifully. Well, the Dodgers have issues with their middle relief. They have issues with the depth in their bullpen. I believe they should go out and sign Craig Kimbrell and stick him in there as a, you know, an eighth inning guy or something like that. But they may not have to do something like that. They may just say, hey, look it, we have an embarrassment of riches right now. And so, boom, throw one of those pitchers who is normally a starter into the pen and say, hey, look it, I know this is not your normal job, but we got a World Series to win here. The Dodgers are scary good. And they're not in a bad division, but they're starting to pull away. And they're starting to pull away in a real way. As I'm recording this right now, you know, they're building up their lead on Arizona, who lost two games to the Giants. By the way, the Giants are doing a wonderful farewell tour for Bruce Bochy because the stars of the games are people like Brandon Crawford or Pablo Sandoval. You know, it's like the greatest hits. Giants aren't going to win piddly-poo this year, but they're getting contributions from fan favorites. And as I'm recording this, they have a 5-game lead in the loss column over the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are a flawed team, who are having a better year than expected. And the Padres have fallen below 500. The Rockies are stumbling, and they're now tied with the Giants for last place. What team in that group is going to surpass the Dodgers? Barring injury. The Diamondbacks and the Padres have a shot at a wild card. I don't think we're here. We're almost at the first milestone. And you could look at this and start to say, do you know what? The Dodgers may have already clinched. Oh, and by the way, let's remove maybe from the equation for the Houston Astros in the American League West. Now, my beloved Boston Red Sox saved a little face and won a game in the series against the Astros on Sunday. It's always nice when the one game you win is on the last game of the series. It leaves with a nice taste in your mouth. That being said, the Astros are so good right now. You realize that they have an 8.5 game lead over the Angels and the Rangers. And they're almost in the position where they could start lining up their playoff roster right now. I mean, and if you notice, by the way, I didn't notice this until this weekend. George Springer is the leader in the clubhouse right now for the American League MVP. I mean, he's sparking the Astros offense, which right now the Astros they're tied in the loss column and one game back in the win column. Wait, are they? No, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. I read the stats wrong. The Astros do have the best record in baseball right now. They are just a tiny bit ahead of the Minnesota Twins. That's right, I forgot the Twins lost today. I was thinking about Saturday. Even though the Astros lost today, they're still the best team in baseball. And George Springer leads the league in homers, RBIs, if you still like that. Do you like OPS? Do you like slugging? Do you like scoring runs? So Springer is sparking a team that could be loaded with MVP candidates. And Verlander and everyone are still playing well. The West's divisions, the Dodgers and the Astros. By the way, the two teams I picked to go to the World Series. Not that I'm claiming I'm Nostradamus. That's not a huge, challenging pick by your pal Sully. But right now, they're secure. And they should be thinking World Series title. By the way, it just boggles my mind that the Yankees are in first place in a wild, weird weekend that they had with the Rays, where the Rays blew a lead one game, the Yankees blew a lead another game, and then the Sunday game looked like it was going to be a tight one until the Yankees blew the doors off the dump. The Yankees are in first place with a lineup filled with people who I don't think were on the Yankees at the beginning of April. This team is like, what team is this? Patched together with the Kendrys Morales and all these other people. You're like, who are you and what are you doing on the Yankees? Team that won 100 games last year. None of the players on that 100-win team is currently on the team. And, oh boy, it pains me as a Red Sox fan to say this, but the team that they're starting to remind me of is the 2013 Red Sox. The 2013 Red Sox were patched together with players who, God, do they even belong on this team? Are they even Johnny Gomes, a Red Sox? Mike Napoli, Shane Victorino? A bunch of players, are they even on the team? And what happened? They all happened to contribute at the right time, and next thing you know, there was a duck parade in Boston. I really, really, really don't want this Yankee team to win the World Series. I don't want a feel-good Yankee story. I'm petty. I'm very petty. And, you know, give Philadelphia credit. They're pulling away in the National League East, winning three straight games. And give Cleveland credit with a couple of wins there. You know, a complete game by Bieber. Shane Bieber. I know he has to deal with that all the time. But man, there is some good in baseball. When we come back from the break, let me tell you, there's some bad in baseball. And man, some of it's really, really rough. Well, I want to remind you, you can subscribe to this podcast on the Himalaya Podcast app. In an ever-changing podcast world, you need Himalaya with its curated playlists and new features every day to give you a brand new podcasting experience. Go to your app store. It doesn't matter if you're using Android, it doesn't matter if you're using Apple, whatever you're using, it's at your app store. Go download Himalaya. Thank you, pal Sully. Let's pay some bills. Let me also say this. Hiring used to be hard, and getting a job used to be hard. If you were trying to get someone to your company, there's all these resumes you have to sift through, and if you're trying to get your resume seen by the right people, you might as well make your resume into a paper airplane and throw it into the Pacific Ocean. You got multiple job sites, stacks of resume, confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done, and that is ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. They don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. And that works great on both sides. Is if you're trying to find the right job, ZipRecruiter sends you reminders, hey, we think you're a good match for this. You may not have known this. Come on, Sully, send your resume. There's a job in Tacoma just waiting for you. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one, spotlights the top candidates, so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And guess what? My listeners, yes, you're my listeners. So you listen to Sully when I talk to you. My listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. You can afford that. You don't have to check your available balance. You've got enough money because we're saying it's for free at this exclusive web address, which is ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LOCKEDON. ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. LockedOn ZipRecruiter. Do you know what it is? It's the smartest way to hire. Hey, kind of read a nice review that I got on iTunes. This is from Kistodian. Am I getting it? Kistodian? Oh, now I get it. You know, sometimes you don't get the joke till you say it out loud. Kistodian. There you go, Kistodian. Wrote to me on Friday. Posted a nice review. 5 stars. Boom. Thanks, buddy. I don't know if Kistodian is a man or a woman. No matter what your gender, no matter where, no matter if you're somewhere in between, you're my buddy. Sully is the best. Well, geez, I'll take that. I have one suggestion, okay? Add the Miami Marlins minute to the show, since they are on pace to be historically bad. Other than that, the show is great. That cracked me up, because I've been accused in the old podcast, Sully Baseball, and a couple of times on this podcast, that I focus too much on the Red Sox and Yankees. I'm a Red Sox fan, and there's interesting things happening with those teams. But sure, I'll talk about the Marlins for at least a minute. Let me check the time right now. Okay, starting now. The Marlins swept the Mets. How about that? The Marlins and their awful, boring uniforms, their minor league pitching staff. Lopez pitched great. They shut him out back-to-back nights. Holy Toledo. There's reason to be happy in Miami. That the Mets came to town and boom. Three in a darn row. Alcantara pitched well today, beating Noah Syndergaard 3-0. And what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to make sure that I pat the Marlins on the back right now. I'm going to go into another point of view of this series in just a minute, but we're in the middle of the Marlins minute right now, and the Marlins are off to a historically bad start in front of, how many people showed up today? 15,000. It's the Mets, okay? That's the crowd that showed up, and of that 15,000, any one of them who was rooting for the Marlins, I salute you. You got a weekend of baseball that you took on a team that a lot of people thought was going to be a big contender. Alcantara threw a complete game shutout. If you said the Mets and the Marlins were going to play, Noah Syndergaard was going to be pitching, one of them was going to throw a complete game shutout, guess which one it was? Wasn't Thor. So let's give credit where it's due. Curtis Granderson hit a home run in the 8th inning to pad the lead a little bit. Neil Walker got a couple of hits. I don't know many of the players on this Marlins team. I'm not going to lie to you. I can't pretend that I am the biggest Marlin fan in the world. But hey, for 1 minute in this podcast, I salute the Miami Marlins for what they did. Okay? Now let's get down to brass tacks. The Mets and the Nationals are having a series this week. This should be a series between contenders who are racing to catch the Philadelphia Phillies for first place in what should be a crazy National League East race. And that is not the case. The Mets are 5 games under 500. The Nats are 8 games under 500. The Nats are closer to the Marlins than they are to first place. Now give the Braves credit. They're hanging around. They're only 2.5 back of Philadelphia. But as we approach this first milestone, the Mets and the Nationals are struggling to get to 450 ball, which neither of them are at right now. And there is a very strong possibility that by the end of this series between the Nats and the Mets, that one, if not both teams, will have changed managers. It's no longer a small sample size. Now, I've talked ad nauseum about the Nationals, that Dave Martinez just is not working. The Nationals have Corbin to the team, who's pitching great, to a rotation that already has Strasburg, who's having a fine season, and Scherzer, who up until this season was the best starter in baseball. They've got a dynamic young offense and a bullpen anchored by Sean Doolittle. And they're going to finish below 500 this year. That's inexcusable. Do you know what's also inexcusable? I saluted the Marlins and I gave them credit. Because you should give a team credit for when they win. You know, the Mets are supposed to go in and win those games, and the Marlins won. And everyone's going to take the point of view of how could you lose to the Marlins? Well, the Mets found a way. They Jurassic Parked that, and they found a way. Now, who's responsible? Mickey Callaway? Brody Van Wagenen? Did Brody put together a crap team? Or Mickey Callaway, who did not look like he had any handle on the club last year, still has the car keys. Something has to be done. Because those teams are built to win right now. And they're now playing like the Giants. Now, the Giants weren't supposed to win. They're supposed to have a bunch of familiar names. So when you go to the ballpark, it's like, hey, there's Panic, there's Pablo, there's Bumgarner, there's Brandon Belt, there's Buster Posey, is anyone else left? Someone else is left I'm not thinking about right now. And then when trade deadline time comes around, Bumgarner will eventually be moved and they'll have a big ceremony for him. And if they can get anything for Belt or if they can get anything for Panic or Crawford, they probably will, but they'll probably keep Posey around as kind of a building block for the future. That's the kind of year they're expecting in San Francisco. And the Mets were thinking they were going to actually win something this year. And they have to do something to kickstart this team. Because we're about to approach the one-third mark of the season. And I'm just going to say it right now. I will be stunned if there isn't a managerial change in Washington or New York before Memorial Day. Because it has to happen. Oh, by the way, two other teams. I mean, I mentioned the Mariners the other day, who started the season 13-2. And even though they won on Sunday, they are 10-24 since then. They have a worse record than the Marlins since starting the season 13-2. So it's not all bad in Miami. And the Mariners have, since that start, I mean, they're 10-24 since then. Since the beginning of May, they're 5-12 and have a negative 47 run differential for the month. This is why the Astros are going to win the West. There's no real competition there. There's no team that isn't flawed up the wazoo. But the team that really stuns me about how they're flopping right now are the Cardinals. The Cardinals started this, you had a spectacular April. I picked them to win the Central. And since May 1st, they've dropped 13 out of 17 games, including an extra inning game where they had the lead in extra innings on Sunday. And they've had inconsistent games from Mikolas, from Waka, from Wainwright. They got swept by the Cubs. They lost a series to the Phillies. They lost a series to the Braves. They lost a series to the Pirates. Yes, this has been a gauntlet that they've been through recently. But man, this is a team that was supposed to contend. They won 20 of their first 30 games. And now they're fumbling and bumbling where the Reds are looking at them and saying, hey, maybe we'll take a shot at them. They're closer to last place than they are to first. And this is a Cardinal team that right now is one game above 500 that should be, you know, they should be near the top. I picked them to win it. I picked Milwaukee, Pittsburgh, and St. Louis to all make the postseason. The one team I didn't pick was Chicago, who I did not think was going to have this big turnaround. They've been spectacular since a rough start. But the Cardinals have had a deceptive flop month. And they've got to get their act together because we're approaching the first milestone. And I'm approaching the end of this podcast. So we got a full slate of games. Well, actually not a full slate of games. The Red Sox and the Blue Jays are starting an early game. I think that's for Victoria Day. The Yankees are going to play the Orioles, which means they should be padding their resume against Baltimore after winning two series against Tampa. So naturally, the Orioles will probably sweep them. The Mets and the Nats will play in a series that will determine which manager gets fired. The Phillies and Cubs are playing what could be a National Championship Series preview. The A's and the Indians are playing. The A's been getting some good pitching lately, but the Indians' pitching is spectacular, even with Kluber out. The Mariners and Rangers are playing, which would have been a really interesting series a month ago. The White Sox and Astros are playing in a weird reunion of the 2005 World Series, although they're both in the same league right now. Braves and Giants are up. And we'll see if the Giants can show any life against Atlanta. The Twins and the Angels in what I call the Rod Carew series. Twins are still playing very great ball. Let's see if they can do anything in Anaheim. And the Diamondbacks and the Padres, two teams that have to start winning if they want to get back in this race. Chris Paddock is pitching for the San Diego Padres. He's been pitching really well. In fact, you know what? I'm going to make a prediction. I predict that on Monday, May 20th, Chris Paddock will throw the first no-hitter by a San Diego Padres pitcher in their history. Write it down. I see it. I had a vision. So, let's offer a slice of pizza to the person next to you. Enjoy a weekend of baseball. Go to Locked On MLB on Twitter, on Instagram. Go to LockedOnMLB.com to listen to the show directly. You can follow me at Sully Baseball on Twitter and Instagram. You can subscribe to this show on the Himalaya podcast app. You can also subscribe on Google Play, Podbean, Player FM, Apple Podcasts. You know all the places. And when you get into your car, tell your smart device to play Locked On MLB. Play podcast Locked On MLB, then drive two hands on the wheel. Check out the other terrific shows on Locked On MLB. It truly is your team every day. This has been Locked On MLB for the 20th day of May, 2019. Let's play ball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.